Glad to see each and every one of you here this evening. I'll start out by saying, once again, I didn't know I had the Devo till today, but it was an accident this time. But we all be well and fine. Today, our subject for this evening is going to be the value of social health in the home. And when we think about the value of social health in the home, what we mean by social health is we are talking about the quality of our relationships and interactions within our houses, within our families. We want them to be of a high quality, and we want to have good interactions. Particularly, what I want to understand is the Bible talks so much about the family. In fact, we see in the beginning that God started the entirety of mankind with one family. That was Adam's family. And when the Bible shows us the family, it shows us the family with its struggles and with its ups as well. With that first family, with those two brothers that we see a brother who would kill his own brother. You see, there wasn't very good social health in that home at that time. Even in Jacob's family, with his 12 sons, there was turmoil within the home because Jacob loved one son more than the others. And there was so much enmity within that house that his own brothers sold him into slavery. And it would be such a great long time before that matter was reconciled. We can see in David's home, after he sinned with Bathsheba, that there was so much turmoil within his home. His children were doing one another wrong. They were murdering each other. His children at one point were trying to take over the kingdom from him. We see turmoil within the home. But we all see good within the home as well. We see Noah, a righteous man, who saved his entire family on that ark. He brought them with him. But even then, there were struggles. After they got off the ark, there was some hard times after that. We see the lineage of Boaz and Ruth as they raise up godly seed to bring forth the King David. We see Zacharias and Elizabeth, who were blameless, who God chose to raise John the Baptizer, the greatest prophet born of woman. Oftentimes, and too often, the first enemies that we make are of our own home. But God has shown us how to regulate our behavior within the home. We see first with the husband and the wife that God told the wife to submit to the husband and for the husband to love his wife, even as Christ loved the church, as we see in Ephesians chapter 5. God has regulated the parent-child relationship as well. I want us to look at this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. My parents had me memorize Ephesians 6, 1 from a very young age because it's very important for the dynamic of the home, for the quality of our social, our interactions within the home. We want them to be good. And again, it begins with the parents because the children are watching the parents. If the parents aren't treating one another right, the children are going to pick up on that. They're going to notice that. It's going to trickle down on how the children treat the parents and how the children treat one another as well. But God regulated it in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." He even speaks of how the mother ought to love her children and to love her husband in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4. But what we see described here is a great functioning relationship within the home where it works out beautifully, where the children are obeying the parents, they're respecting them, and the parents are getting along, and the father is teaching his children, he's instructing them in the Lord, and he's not provoking them to wrath. We see growth, we see a beautiful relationship within the home. And I know that God views the relationship as such, the relationship of the home as so beautiful because he describes our relationships in the church with family terms as well, that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We have fathers and mothers because those are beautiful relationships that we enjoy. Even when he was among his brethren in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, when he was in Thessalonica, he describes himself as cherishing them as a nursing mother cherishes her child. That beautiful relationship in the home. He describes himself as acting as a father amongst them. He was comforting them. He was instructing them. He was charging them. You see, that's beautiful masculinity in the home. When the father, when he is teaching his children, when he is being that example, when he sees his children doing good, he says, man, I see that you're doing good, and I know that you can do even better. Beautiful relationships to be enjoyed within the home. But again, as I mentioned, too many times our first enemies begin within the home. So what we need to do to make these relationships function as they ought to, there has to be a development of a love for God and a love for man within our home through teaching and through action. Again, I'll say it again. Our children are watching us. Your children are watching how you interact with them, with your spouse, and with the world round about you. They need to see that you are exercising the two greatest commands, that you are loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, that you are loving your neighbor as yourself. They need to hear it taught, and they need to see it lived out. That's how those relationships can be enjoyed within the home. They need to see us treating one another as we would want to be treated. We need to see those things exemplified in the home. That's ultimately how that relationship is going to be enjoyed. And as much as we talk about what the home should look like, how beautiful it is when it's done right, if we're honest, we recognize that there are times when it is not done right. And what the home needs to be able to endure those times when it is not done right is the ability to apologize and to ask for forgiveness from one another. That's what it takes to maintain it. Because we're going to mess up at times within it. It's going to happen. But the home is only torn apart, it's only never brought back together when reconciliation is not sought, when forgiveness is not had. That's how it is continued, is when we exercise these godly principles, when we exercise how God regulated these relationships so that they can be healthy, so that they can be good, so that they can be beneficial, but also when it's not done right, a seeking to make it right, a seeking to make it as good as it can be. Reconciliation, forgiveness. Ultimately, friends, as we bring this to a close, the gospel is the best thing that can change our homes. But the gospel, what it does to the home, it does two major things to it. It either divides it or it brings it together. Jesus would say that a man's enemies would be those of his own house, all over him. We can see that clinging to the gospel, it can divide the home, it can cause contention, it can cause strife. But we can see when that Philippian jailer, when he was converted, that him and his household came to that beautiful relationship they enjoy there with one another and with God. The gospel, it either divide your home and it'll bring it together. But it all depends on whether or not we want to do right. That's ultimately what's going to be. We have to want to do right in our homes. And we have to allow that gospel to work in our homes to see that benefit. So as we now offer the invitation, those of us in our homes that we might be realizing that there's just been too much strife, there's been too much contention, we need to get back to the pattern of the home. We need to be willing to recognize that. And fathers, again, it's going to start with you. God made you the head of the home. You need to be directing your home and its interactions. You need to be emphasizing these things in your home and exemplifying it. Those of us who are not Christians, again, that gospel message is the best thing that we can enjoy, the best thing for our soul. As we offer the invitation at this time, if you want to know more about the gospel, if you want to have more studies with it, we'd love to study with you. But if you know what you need to do to obey that holy commandment, to become a New Testament Christian, to have your sins forgiven, we implore you to come as we stand and as we sing.